You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Bombshell. The LA Clippers not only landed Kawhi Leonard, but also Oklahoma City superstar Paul George as well. The desired super team by the LA Lakers is no more, but now all of a sudden there's another exceptionally good team right in their same building, and unfortunately for the Rockets, right in the same Western Conference. To talk about all the potential implications, welcome in to another episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show on this Saturday, July 6th, is brought to you by our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now underway. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. We're also sponsored by our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. As we chat this Saturday morning, July 6th, if you're just waking up, you're waking up to a relatively new NBA. All week long, it seemed that Kawhi Leonard, the reigning finals MVP, was destined for either the Lakers or the Raptors. Now, the Clippers were in his final three, but according to most of the reporting, were an afterthought, and it was either forming the ultimate super team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or going back to the defending champions. Those seemed far and away his leading options. Well, Kawhi threw us a curveball, joining the LA Clippers Friday night, only after the Clippers also gave up a boatload of draft picks to lure Paul George away from the Oklahoma City Thunder. George earlier in the week issued a trade request to Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City front office, and rather than deal with a potentially unhappy superstar, especially given all the picks, four first-round picks and potentially more than that given up by the Clippers in this deal, because from LA's perspective, they're not only getting Paul George, they're also getting Kawhi Leonard, it was certainly worth it. So at the end of the day, it's not the same as Kawhi Leonard staying out east. That would have been far and away the best scenario for the Rockets, in my opinion, but it's also not the worst, which would have been Kawhi Leonard joining forces with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and forming a new super team. I was skeptical of that group being as great as the Warriors we've seen the last three seasons, but nonetheless, just in terms of the star power of that top three, that would have been overwhelming. So in today's show, which we're going to be offering quick reaction as far as the Rockets are concerned to the move, what the Western Conference looks like in the aftermath, my biggest takeaway above all else is that the Western Conference is wide open. The Clippers are going to be a very good team, but they're not going to be overwhelming. For starters, Kawhi Leonard missed 22 games last year, and he repeatedly praised the way the Toronto medical staff handled his situation, that chronic quad. He even had an overcompensation injury to the other leg in the playoffs. Toronto did everything they could to get Kawhi through that season, and he still missed about a quarter of it. Paul George is expected to miss the first few weeks of this upcoming season for the Clippers because of the shoulder surgery that he had. He was playing with a torn rotator cuff in the playoffs. And then when you look at the draft consideration that the Clippers gave to bring in Paul George and effectively Kawhi Leonard as well, the reason the draft compensation is significant is that it limits their ability to bring in other top talents in the future. It's the same dynamic as after the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis, why I didn't really buy that they'd have an easy pathway to filling out their roster even if they got Kawhi Leonard, because they didn't have those future first, which are effectively the most valuable capital you have in terms of being able to take advantage of a situation at the trade deadline where maybe a team that's not going to contend is going to sell off a quality player or even more than that. Because the Clippers have tapped out their assets, they've given up probably five first-round picks in this deal, and because of the rule that the NBA has that you can't trade consecutive future first-round picks, then they don't have a first-round pick that they can offer in trades for a while. The same is true with the Lakers, who emptied their stockpile of picks for Anthony Davis. So while LeBron James and AD, while Kawhi and Paul George, these are two really good teams, I don't think they're the Warriors. They certainly don't have this overwhelming amount of talent where you have four of the top 10 or 15 players in the NBA, plus Andre Iguodala as the quintessential role player and all the continuity, the championship experience that Golden State has had these last few seasons. I don't think it's that. In both cases, you're looking at two potential MVP candidates. That's really strong. But in terms of the rest of the roster, it's solid, but it's nothing overwhelming. And there's not really an avenue either with cap space or with future picks that they can trade to clearly take another step and get to that next level. Now, that's not to say that the Rockets all of a sudden are head and shoulders above those two. They're not. What I'm saying is that there is a pathway. There is not that team that just has an overwhelming talent advantage. And so with the Rockets having James Harden entering his age 30 season, that makes it all the more important to go all in now. The window is more open than it ever has been. And while I still think I would have preferred Kawhi Leonard to stay with the Raptors because he stays out east, another benefit of the path that ultimately came down is that it breaks up the Oklahoma City Thunder. Even if they don't trade Russell Westbrook, although it seems likely at this point that they will, or at least that they'll try to. I don't really know what his purpose would be there on a rebuilding Oklahoma City team without Paul George, the guy who finished third in the MVP voting a season ago. But I was under the impression, and perhaps it was just me, that the Thunder could actually be undervalued going into next season. We know they were a tough matchup for the Rockets. They took 3 of 4 this past season, including the dagger loss, the PG3 at the buzzer in the finale, in which it sent the Rockets from the 2 seed to the 4 seed. Oklahoma City reminded me an awful lot of the Rockets entering the 2014-2015 season. If you remember, they were hyped up so much, the Rockets back then, the year before, the first year they got Dwight Howard, and then they lost in the first round to Portland, and everyone just kind of forgot about them. But with a lot of the benefits of continuity, they ran it back. They added Trevor Ariza, which was a nice rotation piece, and then they ended up winning 55 games and getting to the Western Conference Finals, all with a fairly similar roster to the one that lost in round one a year earlier. To me, that was a fascinating parallel with Oklahoma City before this Paul George trade, because you had a very talented group, certainly PG, Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams. That's a heck of a core to start with. You were going to have Andre Robertson coming back healthy. And to me, even just staying as is, that's a playoff team already, and it wouldn't take a lot to see them jump from high 40s win total to low to mid 50s and all of a sudden be a contender. So while I do think that Kawhi going to the Clippers, that's definitely a championship contender. Kawhi, PG, they're surrounded by all these former Rockets, by the way. Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. They did have to give up Danilo Gallinari in the trade to Oklahoma City as part of a basically cash savings to bring in Paul George to make the math work on that end of it. While I think that's worse than Kawhi staying out east, only because the Clippers with Kawhi and PG, they can win a title. I'm not so sure I bought in to the Oklahoma City Thunder if they stayed as is winning a title. That would be aggressive. Nonetheless, it's not like Kawhi just walking straight into the Lakers cap space, or the Clippers for that matter, and just making another Western Conference playoff team stronger, or potential playoff team in the case of the Lakers, since they weren't a year ago. No, in this case, the ascension of the Clippers, due in part to Paul George joining, also Kawhi Leonard obviously, is countered by the slippage on the part of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So as far as the Rockets are concerned, while it does create another team potentially at the top of the heap in the Western Conference, as far as the overall depth of the league and teams fighting to make the playoffs, this probably pushes OKC into rebuilding mode. So it goes back to what I said off the top. It's not as good as Kawhi staying out east. I think that would have been the ideal scenario, but it's a whole lot better than if he had joined the Lakers and started effectively a new super team. Kawhi, AD, LeBron, those three, I was skeptical on them filling out the roster. I was skeptical on saying they're anywhere near the same as this Warriors dynasty that just wrapped up. But they would have been really good, and if they're healthy in the playoffs, it would have been tough to see anyone really matching up with them in a 7-game series. Kawhi to the Clippers, along with Paul George, they're a really good team. They're going to be tough to score on. We'll talk more about matching up with the Clippers specifically in our second segment coming up. But as far as initial thoughts, the Western Conference is wide, wide open. Now, it's not to say that the Rockets are ready to roll. While they've brought back Austin Rivers, Daniel House, Gerald Green in the first few days of free agency, we're still waiting. And if you want to look at the more specific mechanisms at which Houston's probably looking at bringing in upgrades, we're still waiting on who that's going to be. Effectively, there are two paths. They could use their full non-taxpayer MLE and biannual exception and hard cap themselves and bring in options on the free agent market. Maybe Marcus Morris is more of an option now. That's a name that I've said in the past that I'm intrigued by. We're all waiting to see after Kawhi signed what the domino effect would be. Well, the Lakers, they signed Danny Green. They signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They signed JaVale McGee, which takes another backup big off the board for the Rockets. But no one to this point has signed Marcus Morris. Maybe that's a name that slips through the cracks, and the Rockets do need another defender. If you look at this Clipper roster with now Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you feel comfortable about having PJ Tucker in a playoff series guard one of those guys, but I don't know if you want to trust a relatively unseasoned Daniel House with the other. To me, it makes it more important to go after a veteran. And one path, if you go the free agency route, could be trying to use all of your exceptions, everything available at your disposal, and maybe Marcus Morris is a fit. The other side, and it's pick one, would be using Iman Shumpert's bird rights to either re-sign him and trade him later, or to do a sign-and-trade now. And the most reasonable sign-and-trade piece now, as we've been talking about the last few shows, would be Andre Iguodala, who effectively is languishing in Memphis. The Warriors dealt him there to make the math work on a D'Angelo Russell trade because that hard capped them, the sign-and-trade for Russell, basically a two-part sign-and-trade, Durant to Brooklyn, Russell to Golden State. Iguodala at 35 years old, and as I've said, basically the Robert Horry in terms of the best role player of this generation doesn't make sense for a bad and rebuilding Memphis Grizzlies team. So the Grizzlies are probably going to trade him, and the Rockets are reported to be interested. However, if they trade for Iguodala using Shumpert's bird rights, that's the only way to make the math work without dealing a piece like Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and I just don't see a 35-year-old Andre Iguodala being worth that. If you trade Shumpert's bird rights, then there's no way you can use your non-taxpayer exception or your biannual exception for any free agents on the market, say Marcus Morris, Jamichael Green, whoever it may be, because then that would hard cap you and you wouldn't be able to bring in that Iguodala salary or even re-sign Shumpert, because then you would bust the hard cap that would be triggered by using your non-taxpayer MLE and you'd be hard capped at the apron level of about $139 million in team salary. So it's an either or. Either you want to play the free agent market or you want to use Shumpert's bird rights to bring in an upgrade via trade. That's what the Rockets are looking at right now. We talked more in depth about why I think they would go down that path in prior shows, and I think it's only more of a need now since there's Kawhi and PG in Los Angeles. You feel good that PJ Tucker could pick up one. Well, I would absolutely love to have Andre Iguodala on board to pick up the other in a hypothetical Clippers-Rockets playoff series next May. With all that said, there's obviously more upgrade possibilities than just Marcus Morris, Jamichael Green, and Andre Iguodala. Those are just the three biggest names that we know are available at this moment. If there's one other thing that the Paul George trade should tell you, is that there are oftentimes, even at the highest level in terms of names, conversations going on behind the scenes that we have no idea are going on. So it's possible that we could be thrown a curveball in much the same way. Probably not as big as the bombshell of Kawhi and Paul George both to the Clippers, but curveballs do happen in the NBA. We don't know everything that's discussed, so I don't want to make it seem that it's limited as far as what the Rockets' potential avenues are to just those guys. Those are only examples. The larger point is that the Rockets, although they've had a successful free agency, at least in terms of keeping their band together, bringing it back, not a lot of us expected them to be able to do that, Austin Rivers and Daniel House both, especially without dipping too much into your exception money otherwise. So the Rockets do have a lot of options to still further bolster their team, and they're going to need to do that. They can't run it back and then think that this roster is good enough to beat the Clippers or even the Lakers in a 7-game playoff series. Although I will say the Lakers spending a lot of their money on Danny Green at $15 million a year, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at close to 10, Quinn Cook. That's not exactly a very strong fallback plan to landing Kawhi Leonard. So all of a sudden, I know LeBron and AD are really good players. That does not feel nearly as threatening as it did a few weeks ago in terms of the potential of that roster really being a championship contender. With that said, as far as the Rockets are concerned, Houston is in the mix, but they're not done. And I don't think Daryl Morey believes they're done. They've said all offseason that their goal, assuming there's nothing big like a Jimmy Butler trade, which they swung and missed on, they're fine bringing back the rotation they had a year ago. The Warriors are not the Warriors anymore. The window is open. and then adding another significant player to it, either via their exceptions or, in this case, it would clearly be using Shumpert's bird rights as a chip to bring in, make the math work on Andre Iguodala. You'd also have to most likely send either a protected first-round pick or a couple of seconds to make it worthwhile for the Grizzlies to give Shumpert a bloated salary to make that type of deal work. The Rockets are not done. They still have to bring in at least one and hopefully more, because I think you'd like one more 3-and-D piece, forward depth, and then you would also like a backup big to replace Nene from a year ago. I don't think you want to just say Isaiah Hartenstein has the job no matter what behind Clint Capela. You want to bring in someone with a little more experience. So the Rockets still have work to do. But assuming they are able to do that, and I have no reason to doubt that they're going to bring in someone, it's just a matter of who and when. The Rockets have the money. They've said they're going to spend it. They've told us exactly what the plan is. Assuming they bring in more depth, the Western Conference is open. That's what this really tells me. We've been speculating about it since really the breakup of the Warriors, the injuries to KD and Klay Thompson in the finals, departure of KD, the pushing out of Andre Iguodala to make room for D'Angelo Russell, that this is effectively the Warriors hitting the reset button and trying to reboot for 2 or 3 years down the road. The only thing that could put a hitch in that plan would be the Lakers or someone else forming a super team in the interim. Well, after the Kawhi Leonard domino, and we didn't know it, but the Paul George domino, after those coming off the board, I don't think there's a super team out there in the Western Conference. Those are going to be good teams. Yes, the Rockets are going to have their work cut out for them in terms of matching up, and we'll talk about what their possibilities are there a bit more in our second segment coming up. But as far as initial reaction, the Lakers, the Clippers, these are good teams, but neither of them is overwhelming. The Rockets, as long as James Harden stays elite, and as long as Chris Paul is comparable to even a year ago, forget 2 years ago, if they can just hold on to the version of Chris Paul they had this past year, that plus James Harden, and if they have better depth, is enough for the Rockets to be in the mix. It's not as if you can point to a team and say, wow, this team is clearly better than the Houston Rockets. Now, again, this is on the assumption that they'll figure out a way to handle their depth, but I think that's a foregone conclusion. It's much easier to build out depth than it is to add stars. I know it's frustrating because a lot of us have seen these other teams in the West make their upgrades. We've seen a lot of the stuff that the Jazz have done with Mike Conley and all the guys that they have brought in. And so they're going to take a step forward. Portland might. We'll see. Hassan Whiteside played a little better than some people think last year in Miami, and that gives them some insulation in case Nurkic isn't all the way back or takes more time coming back from that compound fracture in his leg. I know when you look at these other teams in the West making these types of moves, and then, of course, the Lakers and the Clippers bringing in stars, it's frustrating to see a good but not great Rockets team run it back. But if all you need is depth, and I think now you can make the case that with the Warriors not the same, and without a super team like Kawhi, AD, and LeBron, you don't have to bring in another star, then Daryl Morey has shown you over and over again that as long as he has money, and to this point they've shown a willingness to spend it, that things are going to be fine in terms of his ability to bring in depth. We just all have to be a little patient. As long as they fortify that and bring in whoever it may be, another forward, another backup five, this Rockets team has a clear window to contend. I'm not saying that they're clearly better. The Clippers, the Jazz, the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Blazers, they're all up there. So I wouldn't say Houston is clearly the favorite. But unlike even these past two seasons, there's not a team that I would say is clearly better. That's a pretty damn good place to be in. Now, we'll talk a little more about some of the competitive advantages that the Rockets can take advantage of relative to the Clippers and the Lakers in just a few moments. But for now, I want to tell you guys a little bit about our sponsors. First, there's our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where they've kicked off the summer with red hot savings on select items during their red hot summer sale. Stop by any convenient Houston area Gallery Furniture location at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to take advantage of 40 to 60% savings on Houston's best selection of solid wood made in America furniture, name brand mattresses, 100% real top grain leather and upholstered living room styles, one-of-a-kind market samples, and more.
Plus, you'll find Gallery Furniture's lowest prices ever on quality pieces for every room in your home, including sofas starting at $399, dining sets as low as $599, Sealy queen-size mattresses starting at $599, and more. Don't miss your chance to enjoy these incredible summer savings at Gallery Furniture. And as always, when you shop Gallery Furniture today, you can have your quality purchases delivered straight to your Houston area home within hours when you choose same-day delivery. You can also visit them at galleryfurniture.com. I also want to tell you about our friends over at Twillery, because with Twillery, smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery is built on a century-old family manufacturing business. They make millions of shirts a year for leading brands, and they leverage those contacts and their team's technical know-how to keep costs down while maintaining high standards in quality and craftsmanship. Their view is that shirts shouldn't wrinkle, itch, or sweat. Because it's 2019, these guys know that shirts are a commodity, and they make stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and the perfect fit, guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance dress shirts, and with free shipping and returns, you can try on some Twills risk-free. After all, feeling is believing. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Best of all, it's the top value in smart workwear. With the Shop and Bundle model, you all have access to shirts that competitors are selling for $100 and up for as low as $55 per shirt. Grab yourself some today at Twillery.com/LockedOn and use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off. They've even got a limited time special where you can enjoy a free set of bottle opener collar stays with your purchase. That's all from our friends over at Twillery, who you can visit at Twillery.com/LockedOn. That's Twillory. And don't forget to use that promo code LockedOn for an extra $25 off on anything in their complete line of apparel. All right, jumping back into Saturday morning's program. This is Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's show, all about the bombshell news of both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George joining the LA Clippers, forming another Western Conference contender alongside their building rival, LA Lakers, now with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And of course, the other teams near the top of the West, Utah, Portland, Denver, and oh, of course, your Houston Rockets. And in segment one, I went through my reaction to the news, which is that while certainly it's a lesser scenario than Kawhi Leonard, the finals MVP, staying out East, it's a much better scenario than if Kawhi had just simply walked into the cap space of the LA Lakers. There's not a team now that all of a sudden you look at and say, this isn't fair. The Rockets can compete. They're not clearly better than these other teams at the top of the West. We'll see exactly how Houston fills out its roster. We'll see what the other teams do, how the chemistry starts to look once the season begins in October. There's a lot of variables. But for the first time in a while, you're not going into an NBA season in which you look at the Western Conference and you say, wow, this team is clearly better than the Houston Rockets, which even the last 2 years, the Golden State Warriors, from a talent perspective, they were. I don't think even the Lakers or the Clippers are at that level right now. Now, some of this is predicated on my assumption that the Rockets will bring in more depth. And as I said, to match up with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, two forwards with a lot of length, I think you feel good about PJ Tucker to guard one of those guys in the playoff series. You'd like to bring in one more. Andre Iguodala would be a good fit if they want to go the trade route. That's been rumored for a while. We've talked about that possibility in prior shows. And if they want to go the free agency route, maybe Marcus Morris could help. There's lots of different avenues by which the Rockets could get that type of upgrade. But assuming they do, I absolutely believe that James Harden and Chris Paul, assuming they still have the version of Chris Paul they did from a year ago, and I think some of what's going on with Chris, you know, it's pretty clear. You see these two-star teams, and I know there's some trepidation at the Rockets only having one. Well, it's a little misleading because, for starters, Eric Gordon at times during the playoffs was close to a star level. Look at what he did against the Warriors. But with Chris Paul, I do think some of what happened a year ago was him struggling to accept that his body was going faster than his mind. Every NBA player goes through this in which they want to be their old selves, but it's tough to accept that they don't have quite the juice. And I think we saw that a lot in the playoffs a year ago, in that there are very many ways that Chris can still be effective, but he wanted to do the same things he did a year ago. The isolation, the slower style in the playoffs, that's how they had so much success against the Warriors in 2018. Well, the numbers showed it. There was a huge drop in his points per possession, Chris Paul, in isolation, yet it's tough for him to adapt on the fly, and perhaps for Mike D'Antoni as well, to do something different. Chris Paul has the savvy, maybe you have to play to his point guard strengths a little more, go to a slightly faster pace, especially when it's Chris and not James on the floor. But I do think there's still a very good basketball player in there, referring to Chris Paul. And you can say the same for Eric Gordon as well. I don't know if either of those guys is a true star, but if they're not stars, they're not that far behind. They can be very, very good basketball players. So let's not act like that, well, the Clippers have Kawhi and PG, the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis, and the Rockets have Harden and nothing else. While Chris Paul and Eric Gordon are probably not at a star level, let's not act like that they're in the same bucket as everybody else either, especially because they're both on the same team. And of course, they can draw attention from, well, obviously James Harden, but also each other. And it gives them better opportunities based on the diversity of options that the Rockets have on the floor to create and shoot at any given moment. So while it's not the LA Clippers or LA Lakers in terms of box office, when you look at the roster, you're not going to look at James Harden and Chris Paul or James Harden and Eric Gordon and have quite the same wow factor. Both of these guys could win MVP. At the same time, from a basketball standpoint, you can be very successful with those two guys being your secondary options, if that's how it shakes out. And again, it's only July 6th. There's a long while left in this offseason, and the Rockets could have even more changes. We'll see. Part of the benefits, if they do an Andre Iguodala trade, besides the fact that you can throw him at Kawhi or Paul George for a defensive matchup purpose, well, if you get Iguodala, his expiring $17 million salary could be very useful during the season if, say, there's a bigger star, maybe Bradley Beal, that comes available later on. The Rockets have all their future first-round picks. The Lakers and Clippers don't. That's another thing to keep in the back of your mind. As I said off the top, the Clippers and Lakers spending all of their future picks, or at least what they can, to land Anthony Davis and Paul George, and it's by extension Kawhi Leonard as well, by using all of those picks in that fashion, they're not able to get any other future upgrades because what limited picks they do have, they can't trade because of the NBA's rule that you can't trade consecutive future first-round picks. The Rockets have all of their future picks, so should a name come available later on that's of significant impact, the Rockets are much better positioned than the Clippers or the Lakers to land them because they still have their full stockpile of assets. And if they trade for Iguodala or just simply bring Iman Shumpert back at a bloated figure, then they have salary to make the math work as well. The type of filler that's needed, like what the Clippers use with Danilo Gallinari going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So while the Rockets at face value are not as box office top heavy as the Clippers or the Lakers, they absolutely can match up. There's more depth and more chess pieces that they need before a playoff series starts. But guess what? A best of seven series is not going to start until April or May. So you've got a long time before you have to worry about, from an X's and O's perspective, who's picking up who in terms of this hypothetical matchup. The one pushback on this, and I do believe it's significant, the Rockets don't have to have a finished product in terms of their roster by October 15th or whenever the NBA season officially opens. We haven't had the schedule officially released just yet. They don't have to have the final roster that they're going to go up against with regards to the Clippers and the Lakers by October 15th. You can always upgrade it during the season, as we mentioned, if someone comes available later. And if you have Shumpert or Iguodala as salary filler, that makes those types of moves much easier. That is very important. However, you can't go to the extreme that they did a year ago of only betting on minimums, because usually in this NBA, you get what you pay for. Last year, James Ennis, Michael Carter-Williams, Carmelo Anthony, those were the offseason additions. They didn't work out, and it had a big part in the Rockets starting 11-14 and ultimately not getting the number one seed. As far as Houston is concerned, one thing that the Warriors break up, and now the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, who has a chronic quad situation and is likely to miss probably at least 20 games again. Paul George likely to miss the first few weeks of the season, recovering from off-season shoulder surgery, that reported by ESPN's Ramona Shelburne. The door is definitely open for the Rockets to make a run at the number one seed. And then you look at the Lakers. Again, yes, they're more box office heavy. I get that. LeBron's going to be 35 years old. And Anthony Davis, even though he's younger, has had a lot of injury history of his own in New Orleans. And they don't really have all that much depth when you look at how they spent their money after those big two. So the Rockets, they don't have to make a massive move this summer. You can table that until during the season if you do it. but you definitely need to bring in more certain depth pieces than you did a year ago. As I mentioned, it could be via free agency. Marcus Morris, Jermichael Green, as I'm recording this early Saturday morning, they're still out there. Andre Iguodala by trade, and of course there are countless other options by trade as well. What is really clear to me is that one of the most attainable competitive advantages that the Rockets can have relative to the Clippers and the Lakers is going out, having a great regular season like they did 2 years ago, and getting that number one seed and home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Because yes, it's very meaningful. I can't stand people that miss the forest for the trees in regards to the last two postseasons and how important home court advantage is. Yes, on a very superficial level, you can point out that the Rockets were eliminated at home, Game 7 of 2018, Game 6 of 2019. However, that is really, as I said a few moments ago, missing the forest for the trees. This past year's series against the Warriors, who by the way are no more, and the former Warriors, given all their championship experience, winning the West 5 consecutive times, were much more likely than most other teams to be able to win a tough game, a closeout one in Houston, than, say, the Clippers or Lakers, which are relatively unseasoned in terms of the groups they're putting together. But even though the Rockets lost twice at home in closeout situations, look at last year. The road team won one game of six in that Warriors-Rockets series. 5 of 6 were won by the home team. So no, I don't look at game six and say, well, this proves that home court advantage was irrelevant. No, if the home team won 5 of 6, and by the way, every game was close, what it tells you is that in a series that can be really close and decided by small advantages on the margins, home court is a big one. The first 5 games of that series, they were there for the taking, and the home team won every single one of them. 5 of 6 is a pretty damn strong hit rate. And another reason why I think the Warriors played so loose in that game 6, they knew they had home game 7 in their back pocket. The year before that, yeah, the Rockets lost at home in a game 7. Okay, but you remember what happened to Chris Paul leaving after game 5 with a pulled hamstring they never recovered from? Even though the Rockets were without Chris Paul and playing a Warriors team that was at the peak of their powers with a healthy KD, the Rockets still only lost by single digits, and they led by 15 in the first half. This was with washed-up guys like Joe Johnson and Ryan Anderson in the rotation. The Rockets were desperate at that point. They basically only had 6 bodies that they could trust, and yet they still hung around in that game against the Warriors with KD. That's how powerful home court advantage can be. So don't look at the fact that they were eliminated at Toyota Center the last 2 seasons and use that as proof or attempt to that, well, it doesn't really matter, that all you can do is try and have the best roster for the playoffs. No, it is a very relevant variable, and it's something that the Rockets, in my opinion, now have more control over than ever. They may not have another all-star by the season, although it's not all within their control. We'll see what these other teams do. Cleveland with Kevin Love, Washington with Bradley Beal. That's a couple of possibilities. Maybe Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, but I'm not sure that the Rockets would even be interested. And if they were, I know there's a close friendship between Westbrook and Harden, but why would Oklahoma City all of a sudden want Chris Paul, who signed in the same contract the same number of years? I'm just not really sure there's a fit there. My guess is that the bigger names, if the Rockets acquire one, that's probably more of an in-season thing, and the rest of the offseason is more about fortifying depth. But fortifying depth by using real money, either the exceptions or by using Shumpert as a trade ship, is very, very important. Because if you bring in real pieces, that number one seed, given the fact that the Clippers have injury concerns with Kawhi and Paul George, the Lakers have age and injury concerns with LeBron and Anthony Davis, both of those teams are also going to be going through a lot of growing pains. They're starting from square one, whereas the Rockets have largely been together. This will be their 3rd year of the James Harden, Chris Paul, and Mike D'Antoni partnership, 4th of Harden and D'Antoni. The Rockets have advantages in terms of continuity. There's no major red flag in regards to James Harden and injuries. They need to push for that number one seed. Does it guarantee you that if you get the one, that all of a sudden, wow, you are definitely going to make the NBA Finals and emerge out of the West? No, it doesn't. But it's absolutely a relevant variable. And it's one that when you consider how top-heavy the Clippers and the Lakers are potentially in a playoff series, if you can't match them in terms of multiple MVP candidates, then you need to chip away at the margins however you can. In theory, you should be able to build a deeper roster And of course, that has some benefits in a playoff series, but it should especially have benefits over 82 games, particularly when you're looking at situations like the Clippers with Kawhi and PG, the Lakers with LeBron and AD, two situations in which there are either injury or age concerns and they're going to need a lot of maintenance. The Rockets should be better positioned to get through the regular season. And if they do, while it's not everything, that number one seed, in my opinion, is the clear top priority right now after these moves. That's what the Rockets have within their control. Go out and get it. And the best way for them to do so, fill out the roster during the offseason, be deep. Don't count on your ability to make moves during the season. Look at that as a luxury. If you can add a star piece during the season, of course, that would be great. And you do have all of your future first-round picks. I'm sure Daryl Morey will always explore the market. But in terms of filling out your roster, don't count on adding guys like Austin Rivers and Daniel House Jr. during the season. It's nice that you did it a year ago, but as hard as it was and as much of a success story as those guys were, it still ended up costing you the number one seed, or really even the number two or the number three, because it took you so long to get those guys. You weren't ready to go from the outset. And it did have a role in the playoff loss. Five of the six games were won by the home team in that series. If the Rockets go out and spend their money aggressively this offseason, build the deepest roster they can, even if there isn't a transformative move, a blockbuster that says, wow, we brought in another all-star, the Rockets, as is, with just a few additions, can be at the top of the Western Conference. It doesn't mean that they're clearly going to be the best next April or May from a talent perspective, but for the first time in quite a while, there's also not another team in the West that's going to be clearly better from a talent perspective this coming season, not in the playoffs, and especially not in the regular season, which now, when you look at how Houston stacks up relative to those situations with those two MVP candidates with the Clippers and the Lakers, all of a sudden, getting through the regular season and trying to get that top seed appears to be, as I look at it, the morning after, a bigger priority than ever. Anyway, I think that'll do it for today's show on this Saturday, July 6th, here at Locked On Rockets. And if you want more content before our next show, there are, of course, many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, LockedOnRockets.com, a Facebook account, Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. And before we go, I do want to once again thank and acknowledge our great sponsors, and keep in mind that if you support these guys, you're also helping us grow here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. One of those sponsors, of course, is Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now in full swing. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. You can also support our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. And in addition to supporting our sponsors, please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Of course, you can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And I encourage you to do so and to leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. And when you get in your car, you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your off-season podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.